You are listening to the audio podcast of Gethsemane Baptist Church, located in Long Beach, California, pastored by Eli Reynolds.
Look at, if you would, at Matthew 28, and if the Gospels are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they're the account, eyewitness account of Jesus when he was on earth and certain things that he did there. And it says in Matthew 28, verse 1, in the end of the Sabbath, which is Saturday, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, which is Sunday, came Mary Magdalene and the mother other Mary to see the sepulcher. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance, his facial features, was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake. The people guarding the tomb there were shaking and became as dead men. I mean, they're just almost paralyzed with fear. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. Behold, he goeth before you in the Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. I love this because it tells us very clearly, very plainly here two times, he is risen, that Jesus is alive. You know, there are people in the world that will take all these different trips all over the world to see the gravestone of where their spiritual leader is. But I can take you, if we went to Jerusalem today, all the way over Jerusalem, and I could show you where Jesus was. He's not there. He is alive and came back from the dead. God in human flesh is Jesus, and we are celebrating that with Easter. And again, we celebrate that every Sunday. And I've read this story. I've read this story many times. I've read the resurrection account in the book of Mark. I've read the resurrection account in the book of Luke. I've read the resurrection account in the book of John. I've read them all many, many, many times. But sometimes when you read something again and again, a phrase sticks out to you. Three words stuck out to me as I read this scripture passage. And I want to preach a message, and you won't understand this title until later. But the message title is, what else did he say? What else did he say? I want to pray, and we're going to dive in here, show you some scriptures. I hope to be a blessing to you. Father, bless us, please, this morning. We are here to gather together to worship and praise you for what you've done for us. And I pray that as we're in church today, Lord, there'd be no distractions, there'd be no urgent text messages, phone calls, nothing grabbing our attention away from these next just few moments that we have together around the Word of God. Do what you want to do in this service today. I pray that if there's anybody here today that does not know Christ as their Savior, that they've never accepted you as their Savior once and for all, that on Easter Sunday, today would be the day that they do this. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I want you to go, if you're in Matthew, and you have a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, that's fine. Go back, since you're in Matthew, go back to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. I want to show you, we believe in the Bible, and we preach from the Bible, and so we're going to use some Bible this morning. And I want to show you something that Jesus said to his disciples before the crucifixion ever happened. Before he was put into the tomb, before that ever happened, and before he rose again, before any of that ever happened, I want you to notice some of the things that he said to his disciples. Now, we know that Jesus was 33 years old when he was crucified, and he had about 3 years of public ministry. So when you read the Gospels and Jesus comes onto the scene and starts performing miracles, it was 3 years of time that he did that. So during those 3 years' time there, he said some things to his disciples that I want us to take notice of. Look, if you would, at Matthew 16, verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Now, then verse 22, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." Here's Peter oftentimes just opening his mouth, putting his foot right in there. And that's kind of what he's doing. And Jesus said, "Hey, get thee behind me, Satan." He said, the devil's trying to keep me from paying for your sins, in other words there. But notice that he began to tell them, "I'm going to go to Jerusalem. They're going to betray me. I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to be crucified, and I'm going to come back." Now, look, if you would, you're in chapter 16. Look at Matthew 17. Matthew 17, verse 22. "And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, The Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him." And they knew that he was referring to himself when he said the Son of Man. "And they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again." And they were exceeding sorry. But then they just kept going with their day. One more passage. Look, if you would, at chapter 20. Chapter 20. Matthew 20. Look at verse 17. Matthew 20, 17. "And Jesus going up to Jerusalem." So now he's going to the place where he told them he was going to go, and this was all going to happen. "And Jesus going up to Jerusalem took the 12 disciples apart in the way, and said unto them, Behold, disciples, listen up. Before thee goes to Jerusalem, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again." So he's very clear, right? He's been telling them this for a long time. And now they're on their way to Jerusalem, and he pulls them aside on the way, pulls over the car, okay, no cars, but pulls over and says, "All right, disciples, gather around, let's huddle up. We're going to Jerusalem. Remember, I've been telling you about this?" And, yeah. And these aren't dumb men. They may seem that way, but they're not. And he said, "Now we're going to Jerusalem. And when we get there, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, third day rise again." The next verses are James and John's mother coming and saying, "When you set up your earthly kingdom in just a few days, who's going to be on the right?" Get the picture. Jesus is saying, "Look, guys, I want to tell you, I'm about to be crucified, and they're going to be, I'm going to be betrayed by somebody. I'm going to be crucified. They're going to put me in the tomb, and 3 days later, I'm going to miraculously rise again." And the disciples, or you know, a picture of this where they were listening to Jesus. He's going to be crucified, and basically, what happened? I'm going to be crucified and rise again. Wow, that's great. But Jesus, who's going to be beside you when you get into your kingdom? Like who's going to be on the right hand and the left? No. I'm going to be crucified, buried, and come back. That's wonderful. But Jesus, what's going to happen? They're missing it. Like they're totally missing what he said. Now, the Bible does tell us that they did not understand at the beginning what he was saying, and they were afraid to ask. And sometimes I think, you know, we don't want clarification because we don't, you know, they already had an idea what Jesus was going to do, and they didn't want their idea to be proved wrong. And I think Jesus kind of hid it from them. The Bible indicates that as well. But knowing all of this, would you go back to chapter 28, please? Chapter 28 of Matthew. This leads me to the three words that stuck out to me as I read this passage about the crucifixion. Now, as you read it, these words probably wouldn't stick out to you, but these were the three words that popped out, and so I said, let me just look into that a little bit more. Now, if you're looking at Matthew 28, verses 1 through 8, I mean, you could see he is risen. That's three words. Man, there's three great words right there, and there's several, fear not ye. I mean, there's a lot of three-word sentences in there that you could say, but I want to draw your attention if you look down at verse number 6. It says, he is not here, for he is risen, here's the three words, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. Well, what does that mean? The angel was reminding them and he's saying, this is where Jesus was. He died, he was buried, but he's risen just like he told you he would. You know what I love about the resurrection? There's many things I love about the resurrection. I love that Jesus keeps his word. Now, if you look in Matthew chapter, I have this verse on the screen, Matthew, Mark chapter number 6, not 16, Mark chapter, yes, verse 6, chapter 16, verse 7. I think we have that picture on the screen up there. I think we have that picture on the screen up there. There we go. All right. And it says, there shall ye see him, this is the angel speaking, as he said unto you. The next one, Luke chapter 24, verses 6 through 8, it says this. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered to the hands of sinful men and be crucified, the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. They remembered that Jesus said, boy, it's going to happen. And it happened exactly how he said it was going to happen. He said, well, what is this? What's the big deal about that? The resurrection is reminding us that Jesus keeps his promises. As he said is exactly how it happens. And what that means, and what I'm driving at is this. Listen, the disciples were devastated when Jesus died. The disciples thought that Jesus was going to come overthrow the Roman occupation at the time and be the king of their land right then. So when Jesus goes to Jerusalem, and Jesus is crucified, and Jesus is put into the ground, the disciples are devastated by this. But then he comes back. They come back, and the angel says, remember what he told you? You know what, and they're excited. You know what I would have been thinking at that moment? What else did he say? What else did he promise? Because I clearly missed this one. And I want to just talk for a few minutes on what else did he say? If they went back in their minds and remembered what Jesus had said to them, I want you to see there's a couple key promises that are so important that he said to them. I want to go one more place in your Bibles. Thank you for being patient. John chapter 14. Would you go to John chapter 14, and I'll have you stay there in your Bibles for the next few minutes as we finish up the message. John chapter 14. They're reminded that Jesus told you some things that are only making sense now. They're making sense now that he's come back from the grave. But see, he told them many things that maybe that they didn't understand at the time, but were very crucial. And I want us to see some things that Jesus said to his disciples, and we could pick a lot of passages, but this is the passage here, because this is right before they're in the upper room. They just took the last Passover. This is right before Jesus goes to be crucified. And here's what he tells them in John chapter 14, verse 1. If you've been to a Baptist funeral, you've probably heard these verses. Let not your heart be troubled. This is Jesus speaking to disciples. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas, one of the disciples, said to him, Lord, we know not whither or where thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I want to show you just very briefly here some things that Jesus also said. If we can trust him when it comes to him rising again from the dead, and when it comes to him being crucified, if we can trust him in that, we can trust him in everything. And look at the promise that he said there. First of all, I want you to see what he said is that you can have peace. First of all, you can have peace. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You know what troubled means? It means distressed. It means disturbed. And I don't know about you, but have you ever been under some stress? I feel like oftentimes we live under stress. I don't know if you've got debts that you owe, that can be stressful. Just your job can be stressful. Kids can be stressful. Relationships, marriages, there can be stress there. The economy, pretty stressful when you're paying $42 for a roll of toilet paper. You know what I'm saying? Like there's some stress involved. You got bills, stressful. You got responsibilities, stressful. And those are outside pressures, but just, and I'm not trying to make you have anxiety this morning, but a lot of people have internal pressures too. Everyone's expecting me to do this. Everyone's expecting me to be this and say this and act this way. And there's pressure and there's stress. And Jesus just casually says, let not your heart be distressed. Now, what's he talking about? In the context, he's talking about regarding heaven, about the next life, death. Now look, if you look up today, the number, the top fears in the world, you will see fear of snakes. Can I get a witness on that one? All right. You will see fear of spiders. You will see fear of clowns is in the top 10 of fears. But you know what is pretty high up on the list of what people fear is death. That is, actually, there is only one thing on this earth, according to the polls that I have read, that people fear more than death. You know what it is? Public speaking. Some people would rather die than public speak. But people fear death. But Jesus is talking to disciples saying, that's not a fear you even need to have. Faith is the greatest answer for finding peace in your life. You can have peace. I want you to see, secondly, you can have a place. Look at verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You know, God has created some pretty beautiful things on earth. My family and I went to Yosemite National Park. We got to see El Capitan, you know, the big mountain there. And I remember driving and just seeing, ooh, that's beautiful and everything. We drove around and there was this a viewpoint where you could get out and look. And I have never in my life, I've seen some pretty incredible things. I lived overseas for several years. I've seen the Alps. I've seen, a lot of beauty in nature. I've seen the Neuschwanstein Castle in Germany, which was what Walt Disney patterned his Cinderella Castle after. I've seen some pretty beautiful things. When I stood out there and looked at Yosemite, and you could just see like this entire panoramic view of not one thing that man created, but 100% what God created. It was breathtaking. I went to the Grand Canyon with our family a couple years ago, and I had never been to the Grand Canyon before, and you can go like pretty much like kind of right up to the edge, and like I walked out onto a rock, and like I was, and I'm afraid of heights, but I walked out into a rock, and I was looking down, and my wife was like, and you'll be coming back now, and I was looking around, but you can go right to the edge, and I'm serious, like it was so big, so vast, so amazing, that I was looking around, and I was like, it looked like a backdrop. I'm not trying to pull it down. Like it was. It looked fake. It was so big and so amazing that I was like, this has got to be a fake. Like, what am I seeing here? God has created some beautiful things. You know, he spoke the world into existence and it just took him a few days. He's been building mansions in heaven since 2,000 years. I wonder how amazing that's going to be. How beautiful heaven would be. But he does say, if I build something for you. And the thing is this, he's talking to his disciples who already believed on him. And though God wants everybody to go to heaven, not everybody is going to heaven. Say, you think it's only the Baptists? No, I don't think that. Oh, you think it's only the Christians who go to church on Sunday? No, that's not who goes to heaven. The Bible says all have sinned. In other words, we've all committed sin, so no one deserves to go to a perfect place because we're not perfect. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. No one can earn their way to heaven. That doesn't even make sense. We can't do it. If we could earn our way to heaven, why would Jesus die to pay for our sin? But we're sinners. And because of sin, we deserve to pay for sin. You know, you commit a crime, you deserve to pay for that crime. And so God does not want any person to go to hell. He didn't create hell for us. But if we die unforgiven, if we die without our sin being paid for, we can't go to heaven. We have to pay for that sin. Sin must be paid for. Now, you can have peace, and you can have a place, but lastly, you can have peace and have a place if you know the right person. You can have peace, and you can have a place, but you have to know the right person. We have people in our church who know people. You ever talk to somebody like you know, my TV's broken. I know a guy. You know a TV guy? I know a guy. Right, okay, wonderful, okay. My landscaping needs some serious help. I know a guy. We've got people in our church that know a guy for everything, you know. Like, whatever your problem is, you know, I got a Yorkshire Terrier with an ingrown toenail. I know a guy. You know, it's like crazy, you know. Like, they know a guy for everything. We have some people like that. And oftentimes I'll be like, ask so-and-so because they know a guy, you know. But some people know the right people. If you want peace in your life and you want a place in heaven, you got to know the right person. Who is that? Oh, we know who that is. We're talking about Jesus Christ. He says it here in verse 6. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way. Not a way, not one of the ways. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The way to have peace is through Jesus Christ. The way to have a place prepared for you in heaven is through Jesus Christ. He is the way, the only way. Say, you sound pretty exclusive. Yes, but Jesus said, whoever wants it can have it. So it's not very exclusive at all, is it? It's inclusive. Whoever wants to be saved, whoever wants Christ can have him. See, Jesus told the disciples what would happen. He said, I'm going to go to Calvary and be crucified. I'll rise again. But why did it happen? Why did he do that? The Bible tells us in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth or demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Because we were sinners, like we talked about a moment ago, because we've all committed sin, we've all broken God's commandments. None of us are perfect. We understand that. And because of sin, no one is just deserving of heaven. No, because of sin, we deserve to be punished. But God does not want that. And so to demonstrate his love for us, Jesus came to this earth and died for us while we were yet sinners. On the cross, paying for all of the sins that we've ever done or ever will do. That's what he was doing on the cross, so that we could be forgiven and go to heaven. Now, you may be here today and say, I believe that. That's great, but you also have to receive it. My grandfather had two birthdays. And you say, well, how was that? Well, he was adopted, and so I don't think they knew when he was adopted what his real birthday was. I mean, this was Arkansas back in the 1930s. I doubt their record keeping was immaculate. And so they figured out that he had a birthday. They celebrated in February, and they celebrated one in like September, October. That sounds pretty awesome to have, like, celebrate two birthdays, right? I mean, like, every kid in here is like, please, can I have two birthdays? But and so for years they would celebrate two birthdays for him. I have two birthdays as well. My physical birthday is July 6, 1984. So if you did your math correctly, yes, I will be 40 in 3 months or so, all right? But that's scary to say. But anyway, all right, don't get sidetracked, Eli. Okay, here we go. But I have a physical birthday, and July 6, 1984, but I also have a spiritual birthday, March 26, 1991. What's a spiritual birthday? That was where I realized I'm a sinner. I realized that I can't get to heaven without the help of another. And the only person that can help me get there is Jesus Christ. And so I remember as a six-year-old boy kneeling beside my bed and praying and asking Jesus to save me from my sins and become my Savior. And that was the day. That was the day I was born again. And I have a spiritual birthday now because of that. Because I accepted the gift on that birthday that Jesus gave me. What was the gift? Eternal life. For the wages of sin is death. The penalty for sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. On my birthday, my family get me gifts. On my spiritual birthday, Jesus gave me the gift of everlasting life. I get to go to heaven. Oh, because you think you're a good person? No, I don't think I'm a good person. I get to go to heaven because Jesus said it. Because he said, if you will call unto him and ask him to be your Savior and forgive your sins, that he will do it. That's what he said. How do I believe on him, Pastor? We're done just a second here. How do I believe on Christ and how do I receive Christ? I have a verse I want to show you on the screen here. Romans 10:9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart, listen to this, that God hath raised him from the dead. Easter Sunday, folks. Thou shalt be saved. About four verses later, he says, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, I thought I had to be a good person to go to heaven. No, you don't. I thought I had to go to church my whole life to go to heaven. No, you don't. Now, once you accept Christ as Savior, you're going to want to do those things. But you don't have to do them to get saved. All you have to do is say, help, Lord. I believe you. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe you rose again. And I don't believe that any other way can get me to heaven. I don't think that my former religion can get me to heaven. I don't think that my good works can get me to heaven. I only believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And I accept you as my Savior today. That decision is how you can know that you've got a place and how you can have peace. I worked with teenagers for many years here in Long Beach, and 18 of them now, actually, just about. And I remember about my third year in, we had a young man from Jordan High School that would come faithfully. His name was Patrick. And Patrick was a friend of one of our members, Dawse Calloway, at the time, and they were very close. And Patrick would come every week, and I would preach the gospel every week. Patrick heard the gospel message a bunch of times. And I would go to Patrick and say, Patrick, you know, if you died today, would you know for sure you're going to heaven? He'd say, no, I don't know. I want to know. I said, well, can I take the Bible and show you? And I showed him, and he said, you know, I just want to wait. I said, man, Patrick, you're not even guaranteed that you'll live tomorrow. Like, what if something happens and you're refusing Christ? And he said, I just want to wait till my family gets here. I want to make it an event. Time went on, and time went on. Patrick, are you going to trust Christ as your Savior? Patrick, the most important decision you ever make. I just want to wait. I'm going to get my family to come, and it's going to be a big day, and then I'm going to accept Christ. I can just be burdened for Patrick, but I will never forget. On Easter Sunday, 16 years ago, after I preached to the teenagers, Patrick came up to me and he stood right in front of the pulpit in the youth room and he said, Brother Reynolds, today's the day. And I was like, for what? You know, like, I just preached a message. I didn't even know what he's talking about. I'm like, what's the day? Are we arm wrestling? And he said, and then he looked at me and he said, no. And he had like a serious look. He's like, today's the day. I said, oh. And I said, everybody, get out of the room, you know. And I sat down in the youth room in the front row, and I opened my Bible, and I was like so excited, I was trembling. And I remember my wife looked through the back window of the youth room and took a picture. We had flip phones, you know, way back in 2008 or whatever, and she took a picture of it. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that Patrick got it settled after years. I wonder if some of you in here, you've just been waiting on something. You've been waiting on something special, or I'll do it next time, or maybe you've been trying different paths. Listen, there's one path. It's Jesus Christ, and you are not promised another day. Why wait? Why not today? Cry out to God in your own heart and say, Lord, it's time. It's time. I've been putting it off. I've been looking and watching these other Christians, but it's time that I trust Jesus as my Savior. Boy, I hope and pray today that you would. Because you know one other thing that Jesus said is this, and I close. He said in John 6:37, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. In other words, if you come to Jesus and ask him to be your Savior, he's not going to tell you no. Our Father, we thank you so much for what you said to